Good morning. Today's reading is from John 20, verses 19 to 30, and that can be found on page 1089 on the Pew Bible. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, then they are not forgiven." Jesus appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put them on my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed those who have not seen, and yet they believed." The purpose of John's Gospel. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Thanks be the Lord for the reading of his word.
Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." That's the first time in the Gospel of John that anyone acknowledges that Jesus is Lord and God. But Thomas wanted proof that this man that the disciples had seen really was Jesus. They'd spent several years going around together as a group. They'd learned from him. They'd prayed with him. But I'd like us to think and go with Thomas this morning. Thomas, Didymus as he's called because he's a twin, was a man from Galilee. He might have been a fisherman, we don't know. But he was called, like the other disciples, to be a follower of Jesus. He was a Jew, so he was brought up under the Jewish law. He would have known the law and the prophets as we find it in the Old Testament. He maybe wouldn't have understood it, but slowly, as he and the others walked with Jesus, they discovered what the Old Testament writings were about. And Jesus did say to them, "I haven't come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to complete them." We often talk about Thomas as doubting Thomas. I'm not completely convinced about that, but I'll leave that one with you just now. In John's Gospel, Thomas is mentioned 3-4 times. First of all, when Jesus appoints his 12 companions in the 3 synoptic Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he's mentioned then. And then in John's Gospel, he's mentioned as the disciple who urges the others to go with Jesus to see Lazarus when Lazarus had died. Thomas might come over as a bit sort of, because he says, let's go and die with him. In other words, let's go and die with Lazarus. So not quite sure what he was thinking about then, but he encouraged the other disciples to go with Jesus. That's very positive. He might have been a bit slow to understand, but he was right in what he said. And when we decide to walk with Jesus in his light, even if our life seems a bit dark and risky, and we don't understand, Jesus will walk through it with us. Thomas appears again in John's Gospel. Jesus had just given his disciples a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you, and others will see this love in you and want to know about it. But Jesus also tells them he's going to go away. And they struggle with that. Wouldn't you if your best friend was leaving, moving, going away and didn't tell you how or where or when? We'd all struggle with that. But Jesus says, don't be put off. Where I'm going, there's plenty of room. In my Father's house, I'm going to go and prepare a room for you. And then I'll come back and get you. You already know the road I'm taking, says Jesus. Really? A new house? A new world? Heaven and earth meeting when God renews the whole world? A way into an unknown future, and we'll be able to find it? Thomas says, I think a bit like we might say as well, but we've no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus replied, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Wow, what a statement. And no one gets to the Father except through me. And if you really know me, you'll also know the Father. From now on, you know him. You've even seen him, because you've seen me. To see me is to see the Father. This is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. It can be a bit hard sometimes to get our heads around this. And how can Jesus make such a claim? And how can we make that claim for him as we live out our lives? I mean, aren't all religions much the same? That's the kind of question that you'll be asked as you talk about your faith to others. Well, actually, no, they're not. They may begin to go down the same road, but the way to the Father, to God, is very specifically the way which only Jesus can lead us on. The Jesus Thomas knew and we encounter, who washed the disciples' feet, wept at the tomb of Lazarus, who serves, who is compassionate, and so much more, is not the kind of God other religions portray. Not only that, but he's alive. Through Jesus, we can follow and get to know God by continuing to do what Jesus did, as we're encouraged to. We too can speak this earth-shattering truth that he spoke. Well, that's a lot to take on board, isn't it? How can we be enabled to take forward this wonderful hope, faith, joy in our world day by day, and especially in the world we see on our television screens and read about in our newspapers? Let's have another look at where Thomas is at. This time, after the other disciples have seen the risen Lord, and he hasn't. And Thomas says, and this is where people calling him Doubting Thomas, unless I see the marks on his hands, place my finger in the nail marks and in the wounded in his side, I will not believe. That's what Thomas said. And I'm sure sometimes we'd love to be able to do those things too. And this is a reaction similar to one that we'll meet from time to time as we talk about our faith. A number of years ago, as a doctor in hospital, a plumber came to fix something in my room, and I appeared at one point when he was there, and he said, "You've got all these things around your wall about God and about Jesus. I would love to know him. Can you introduce me? Can you show me him?" And we talked a bit, and I said, "I can't actually show you him in physical flesh, but I can introduce you to him if you want to." He didn't really want to do that at that point, and I can only hope and pray that at some point he met Jesus. And it's the kind of thing we meet on the streets at night in Aberdeen. "Show me Jesus. Prove him to me." It's all very airy-fairy. "How can you believe in such rubbish?" That's the kind of comments we get. But it's the fact that people engage, want to talk, and know an awful lot about Jesus and about the Christian faith. They are interested. They want to know. We need to be able to share. So what is it that changes things for Thomas when he sees Jesus? And as far as we know, he didn't actually put his finger in the nail holes. We're not told yes or no. That doesn't matter. But Jesus appeared in the room with them. No doors opened, so maybe that youngster who talked about teleporting has got a point. I don't know. Maybe one day I'll find out. Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Now, that in itself, Thomas would recognize the words and the voice. And Jesus' peace is so different to the kind of peace that we hear about elsewhere. Thomas is immediately able to see the marks in the hands and may well think, "Oh dear, what is Jesus going to say now? Is he going to kick me out?" But he meets a smiling Jesus who offers him a gentle rebuke for needing proof. But also he offers an encouragement to those of us who have never seen Jesus, that we are blessed when, without seeing the risen Lord, we believe in him. Thank you, Thomas, for allowing that to happen. Maybe it was doubt. Maybe it was that he wanted to see what the other disciples had seen. Thomas is a human just like the rest of us. He put his feet in it. He had trouble believing without seeing, and, well, if he did doubt, so do we. And it's helpful to see our failings in the disciples too. And by the way, fail means first attempt in learning. Please remember that. Thomas sees Jesus, but also understands that having seen Jesus, he has also seen God. That is something new. He has addressed Jesus and addressed him as God. This is a revelation, a new understanding of who Jesus is, that he really is the Son of God. Back at the beginning of John's Gospel, if you remember, the words are, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." And the word, the Greek word logos there, is referring to Jesus. So John's Gospel has almost come full circle. Thomas has made this discovery for himself. My Lord, Jesus, and my God, his Father. You will remember too that in the first occurrence when Jesus appeared to the disciples before Thomas was there, he breathed on them. Now, in Scripture, the words breath, wind, and spirit are the same word both in Greek and Hebrew. And the beginning of the Bible, God breathed on Adam to bring him to life. Here Jesus is breathing on his disciples to give them the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we see this happening on a more of a worldwide basis at Pentecost in the Acts of the Apostles. Not only are we called to follow and believe in Jesus, but we too are given this gift of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who enables us as we speak about Jesus, as we live our lives for Jesus, being bold and strong, and do things that we never dreamed we could or would do. Just as Jesus sent out the disciples to tell others about himself, his Father, and the new relationship between God and man with the tools they needed, we too are sent out to share this good news in lots of different ways and with the tools that we need. Maybe we won't end up in India as Thomas reputedly did. Maybe we'll remain always in Kemeny. Who knows? Regardless, he will accompany us through life if we believe, as we see Thomas doing here. God our Father became man in Jesus, has given us resources that we need through the Holy Spirit, gives us our peace, and invites us to follow him on our life journey. I'd like to share a brief reflection. This is Thomas speaking. I expected him to give me a row. Not, as you might think, for doubting. We'd all doubted at different times, and he was never angry. Indeed, he doubted himself sometimes. Or if he didn't, he certainly understood how it felt, because he would sing the Psalms of Doubt with great fervour. Doubt wasn't an enemy to him. He could stand us doubting. It was indifference he couldn't though. Indifference and apathy. I expected him to give me a row and make some for making conditions. I did do that, and I don't deny it. If only I see this and do that, then I believe. Fancy me thinking I could make conditions with God. But he didn't take me to task. He saw that I was happy because I had seen, and he said that they were also happy who believed without making conditions, without saying if only or unless. I expected him to give me a row because I wasn't there when he came. The others were present. I was absent. It wasn't their fault or his fault. It was mine. I had, for whatever reason, decided that it was all finished. He came back to say, "It's all beginning." I expected him to give me a row, but he didn't. He gave me his hand, and more than that, he gave me his peace. And I'd like to invite you all now to share his peace with each other. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Peter. Peace be with you. We're going to have the prayers for the world now.